The week and worship God in spirit and in truth, to come together in a Bible class hour and study the Word of God, and on Wednesday night to be able to do the same. And so I'm thankful to be here. I can think of no place I'd rather be on the Lord's Day and assemble together to do what God would have us to be doing. Can you? I appreciate you. I think I saw a few nods. I think we can all share in that. So it's good to be with you, and I'm thankful that you're here, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. And the only thing we ask is, as we study the Bible together, is that you take your Bible out and follow along with us and make sure that what we're saying is in harmony with the Bible. And we'll do all that we can do. And sticking with what the Bible says, not going beyond, not falling short, not substituting for, not going to give you what I think about it, how I feel about it, or how I see it, but what the Bible says. And we'll just let the chips fall where they will. And so we appreciate you being with us. In James chapter 1, now you're familiar with because we've just been studying the book of James. He talks about in verses 23 through 27, appreciate Jacob doing the good job he did in reading the scripture reading. Appreciate you mentioning me in your prayers as well. James talks about that we are to be doers of the Word, and not hearers only. One of the dangers any time and any place for God's people, and doesn't matter if you're at Mill Street, doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter where I'm at holding a meeting when I do that, it's still applicable. One of the dangers that we have as God's people is listening and failing to do. I'll start with myself. That's a danger that I'm confronted with. And every one of you around the room has the same danger with that regard. And that is to listen to what the Bible says. You full well hear it. You hear it with understanding it. And we fail to act upon what the Bible says so many times. And it doesn't matter, as I say, where you go. It's a danger that all of us face. And we read the same scriptures. Someone mentioned to me a while back, they said, you know, I might mark my Bible when you do a sermon. And the sermon you did this morning, I had all those references marked. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. That encouraged me that someone is listening to what I say. I remember who said that, by the way. And Fred, I appreciate you having that attitude, Fred. That someone will listen to what I say and know their Bible as to those passages. And then to think and listen again and to follow along not the first time, but the second time and maybe the third and fourth time and realize that I've heard those before. I wish more folks would write in their Bible and take notes or write things down, but I want you to listen to what the Bible says. But we've got to do what the Bible says. You read the same passages that I read week in and week out, don't we? I mean, James chapter 1 says the same thing to you as it does to me. English is our primary language. It's already been interpreted. We just need to read and obey the text. I want you to think about that. All of us. And what I say to you, I say to me. Being a Christian demands action. I was thinking this morning, I think it would be interesting to sit down maybe the next time that I go through reading the New Testament and just to catalog, just to chart out all of the things that the Bible says to do in the New Testament and all the things that the New Testament says to abstain from or to not do and see what that list would look like. I'm sure that there would be a lot on both sides of that line, both columns, of do's and don'ts. But many times we look at being a Christian and we think about abstaining from and not doing. Thou shalt not. And we think along those lines. And we don't give as much attention to the things that are on the other side of which I must be busy about doing. It's not enough just to abstain from evil. We know that's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17 through 20. Abstain from every form or appearance of evil. And so we know that we've got a lot of things to abstain from, but we've also got to do what God says to do. Difficult, Yes. Easy to understand, no. But many times difficult to apply. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. The book of Revelation, just an encouragement. That's the point of the book of Revelation, encouragement to persecuted Christians. The book closes with that admonition, opens with a similar admonition. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the book of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want us to think about the title that I put before you, Whatsoever You Do. Now, if I were to ask you, what have you been busy about doing? What would you say? Don't answer out loud. I just want you to think about that. Well, preacher, maybe you need to ask yourself that question. Oh, I have recently been asking myself what I've been doing. Where's my time going? What am I spending my time on? Is that a danger that all of us are confronted with? Time? Someone says, I've got to make time for that. You're going to fail if you have that attitude because you can't make time. You cannot make any more time than what we have, and that's 24 hours in one day. Well, what do I do? You've got to redeem the time, Ephesians chapter 5. That is to make the proper application and use of the time that God has given to us. And all of us have got to do that. I want to talk about whatsoever you do, what you've been doing lately. Been busy? I just mentioned someone this morning. My mind goes blank on who I was talking with about time. And what I've been busy about doing and how busy things are. I know I made that comment in the Bible class, but we stay busy. All of us do. The first thing I want you to think about is whatsoever you do, point number one, it best be by the Lord's authority. We think about so often the admonition in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. And rightfully so. Paul is talking, he's writing to the church at Colossae. And he gives them the admonition, the instruction to sing unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And he says in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do, it's our title, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by or through, as some versions say, Him. As an individual, whatsoever I do, in word or in deed, must be by His authority. Whatsoever we do collectively must be by the Lord's authority. If not, we'll stand condemned come the great judgment day. But I want you to notice, as he said again in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17, whatsoever. Well, that's a pretty broad term. Whatsoever equates to whatever you do, all that you do. In what two areas? Word and in deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. We act and we speak. Well, what area of life does that touch? Every area of life that you can possibly think about. Challenge you yourselves to do that. What area of your life does not involve an acting and a speaking? Now, we think many times. We understand that. We've talked about that recently. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But all of us in our daily lives speak and we act. Many of you are still engaged in secular work. You're not retired yet. You're still laboring and doing the work that you do on a daily basis. Many of you go to school. Many of you are retired, but you still interact with people. And so what do you say to people? I think about 1 Peter 4:11. We'll reference that again in a moment. But if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles or the utterances of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth. And we'll pick up on the rest of that verse in another point in just a moment. But if we speak, it needs to be by the authority of Christ. In other words, we need to mark our words and make sure that we are speaking the truth. In Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about the importance of speaking the truth. Let every man speak the truth with his neighbor. A lot of passages talk about speaking the truth, doing what God would have us to be doing. And so we've got to speak what God would have us to speak. Then he says to do. What about our action? I tell you, Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 16 and then followed up with verse 17 is something to chew on when you think about what we do here, but more so, I want you to think about what you're doing in your own life and what I do in my own life. Think about the connection sometimes. It's not the point of what we're making now between verse 16 and verse 17. We've got to do what God tells us to do. James chapter 1, verse 25 talked about it. It was just read in our hearing a moment ago, being looking into the perfect law of liberty. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 20. I think we were recently here and made a couple of points from this in a recent lesson maybe, but in Luke chapter 20, begin with verse 1. It came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, Jesus was ever busy about preaching and teaching. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority thou doest these things. Or who is he that gave thee this authority? How would you respond to that? If someone were to ask you today, make an application of this, a spiritual application, by whose authority are you doing what you're doing, what would you say? Or who gave you this authority to do what you're doing? Would you be caught doing or saying something that does not have heaven's approval behind it? And not only so, would you be able to point them to the Bible as to how you arrived at the authority for doing what you're doing? When someone says, well, listen, why do you guys down there, why? I noticed you didn't have instruments. Why don't you guys do that? Can you, with the Bible, point out to them the authority that we have for singing and the lack of authority for mechanical instrumental music? By the way, the burden of proof is not on you on that regard. It's on them if they say that it's authorized, but nonetheless. What about giving? We just observe the Lord's Supper. We just observe the fact that we can give as God has prospered us. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Where's the authority? I just gave it to you. But can you defend those things? Or preaching the gospel? Or the fact that we offered up prayer unto God, Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 6. Again, preaching the gospel, Acts chapter 20 and then verse 7. I want to challenge you to commit to your memory at least one passage that has to do with the organization of the church, the worship of the church, and how to become a Christian. Challenge yourself to do that. You're going to need those things. But whose authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus, the master teacher himself, answered and said unto them, I'll ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. The authority by which we do is either of men or of heaven. And we've got to have God's authority for what we do. A lot of passages talk about that. Matthew 7, verse 21 through verse 23. 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 17. And other passages talk about the necessity of doing what God will have us to be doing. In what area? All. Whatsoever. You do. Word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. But I also want to point out number two. Whatsoever you do, I need to put myself there, so whatsoever I do, we need to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Does the Bible say that anywhere? Come with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. A lot of lessons were recently brought forth from Colossians chapter 2. Good lessons. And in chapter 3, the Bible says, Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 23, and whatsoever you do, watch this, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In the context of this, he's talking about relationships, husbands and wives, fathers, children, servants, masters. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. A lot of Bible passages talk about doing things with the heart. We fail to put our heart into a lot of things that we do. And maybe we do it because we think, well, I guess I've got to go ahead and do it because I'm supposed to do it. And we don't put any emotion into it whatsoever. Desire, zeal. No, emotion's not the standard of authority. That's not what I said. But we've got to put our heart into it. If it's worth doing, then put your heart into it. In Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 11, a passage that I like really well, when God has told Ezekiel to go to the people and preach unto them the word that He's given to them. He says, thus saith the Lord God, smite with thy hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. God's pending judgment upon the children of Israel as a result of their iniquity and rebellion against God. And God sends Ezekiel to them to preach to them, to testify unto them, to prophesy unto them. And he says, stamp with thy foot and smite with thy hand. We need to put some enthusiasm into what we're doing. We lack that. In so many regards. Let somebody else do it. I'll tell you, I've felt that way before. You ever felt that way? Just let somebody else do it. You know, when we have that attitude, and I'm stepping on my own two feet, when we have the attitude so many times, let somebody else do it, guess what? It doesn't get done. When all of us have the attitude, I'm not saying all of us do, I'm saying when. All of us have the attitude, let somebody else, it will not get done. Because I'll be thinking that, Blaine will think that, Tom will think that, not that you do, I'm sure you don't, but I'm just saying, all the way around the room, and then nothing gets done. And you know what happens when nothing gets done? Ultimately, we sin against God. But people get discouraged and people take notice. And then guess what people do when they get discouraged and they take notice? They begin to try to find elsewhere to be. People don't want to be a part of a group that has no enthusiasm about what they're doing. I'm not talking about putting on a show and jumping up and down. I'm not talking about that being foolish. I'm talking about having our heart into what we're doing. In Titus 2 and in verse 14, a peculiar people zealous of good works. Ezekiel 2 and in verse 5. If you're still over in Ezekiel. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are rebellious people, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. I'm always encouraged when I think about an aged preacher long ago. I remember him saying, when you get up and you preach and you're done, the people need to know that a preacher's been among them. Something to strive for. Remember the point that is made in Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 23, that it is to the Lord and not unto men. And when we get that focused as we should, and we understand that I'm not doing this so that I get a reaction from other people, but I'm doing it so that God will be pleased with what I'm doing. That'd take you far in your work as a Bible class teacher, as a gospel preacher, as a Christian serving God in various different ways in the body of Christ. You'll go far if you never forget that what you're doing is for the Lord and not for men. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, we were there to pick our point up in verse 23. But I want you to notice, again, the importance and why we should everyone be concerned about doing that. Whatsoever you do, verse 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing, he's writing to Christians, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The reward will come from God in the end. You don't have to worry about man taking it from you, not fulfilling what is yours as a result of what you've done in the Lord, because God is faithful, who has promised and cannot lie, Titus 1 and in verse 2. Preacher, what's the point? No matter what you're doing, it needs to come from the heart. Put your heart into it, individually, with what you're doing in your own lives, and what we do collectively. Want to serve God? Put your heart into it. You're going to have a gospel meeting? Put your heart into it. Going to do various other things that you plan for the edification of the body of Christ? Let's put our heart into it. Put the money where our mouth is, as the saying is. We're going to say it. Let's do it. Have Bible class? Come to Bible class. I'm tired. I get tired too. I know you're tired from busy about doing various different things. But come to Bible class. I think many times we need to stop announcing services at 10:50 and just say services at 10 o'clock. And come at 10 o'clock. When you get here, it's for Bible class, and we'll be here until we're done, right? With the Bible class and the worship. But come to service Wednesday night. I know, folks, we're not talking about when we can't come. We know that. We preface that just about every time that we say it, that we understand there's times when we can't. I get sick too, you get sick. We want to be here, but we can't. The choice is made for us. Sick family members, so forth. We understand that. But when you can be here, guess where you need to be? Here. This is what we need to do. I'm convinced, I'll just tell you in passing, I'm convinced with all my heart that in our classes on through the gospel meeting at 10 o'clock, more people could have been here. I'm convinced of that. But we've got to put our heart into it. And more could have been here for the meeting. And for the work that we do, that's not to chastise, it's just to encourage all of us. Put our heart into what we're doing. Do we fail at that from time to time? Yes. Do I fail at that? Yes. There's times when I get discouraged. There's times when I don't feel like it. There's times when I'm tired. There's times when I'm tired and I let that stand in my way of not having the appropriate reaction to someone or whatever the case may be. But we've got to stand on guard to that. If not, I'm telling you, the church will suffer. I'm not talking about the church elsewhere. I'm talking about the church at Mill Street will suffer if we don't put our heart into what we're doing and get ourselves out of the way and put the Lord first. People will see that and get discouraged and either stop at all or find elsewhere to be. Let's put our heart into what we're doing. You on board with that? With putting our heart into it, we're on board with that, right? Point number three. Final point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 31, of which I briefly touched on, in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, whether therefore you eat, whether you drink, notice this next phrase, third time, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Kind of overlaps and steps upon what I said about knowing that it is to God, but He's the one that we're to please. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. The Pharisees had a problem with it. They had their things out of line and out of sync with what they had should have been doing so far as this is concerned. When you look at Matthew chapter 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and said unto His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Now what's He saying? They sit in Moses' seat, therefore whatsoever they bid you do it, you observe it. When you read from the law of God, the context is He's talking about the Old Testament law of Moses. Every bit of that was the truth. You do what they say. As they are reading, instructing from the law of God. Now watch what He goes on to say. That observe and do, but do not ye after their works. Well, Lord, what do you mean? For they say and do not. Well, what they're saying is right. They're reading from the law of Moses. You're hearing that read and you're hearing. But yet their action is that they're not doing it. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, now watch this, for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called to men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called Master, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then he launches out on this stout, as mentioned in the Bible class, a stout rebuke of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, and calls them out for their action. And so they had a problem with hypocrisy and saying but not doing what God would have them to do. Matthew 6, 1 through 7 is another reference that you could use about that when you do your alms deed. That is your good deeds or works toward others. Don't do it to be seen of men. When you pray, don't do it to be heard of men. Speak long prayers with repetition because as others think that they would be heard for their much speaking. It says don't do that. But when you do the things that God expects you to do, you do it in secret and your Father which seeth or heareth in secret will reward you openly. Let your good works or your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11, God is to be glorified. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and by Thy pleasure they are and were created. I told you we'd go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11 and pick up the last part of that verse. If any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as the ability which God giveth. That God, here's the point, relative to this third and final point, that God in all things may be glorified. To God be the glory for all that we do in this life. If you take your eyes in 1 Peter chapter 4 and let them drop down to verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, right, that's chapter 4, yet if any man minister, verse 16 of 1 Peter 4, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. All that we do needs to bring glory unto God. It's our purpose, is that God in all things will be glorified. Our duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 13. Why? Because God, verse 14, God will bring all things into judgment with every secret thing whether it be good or whether it be evil. Whatsoever you do, do it by the authority of Christ. Do it heartily. And to do the things that God would have us to be doing. And whatsoever you do, point number 3, that God may be glorified. Should you be in our assembly this morning, not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. I want to encourage you. The lesson was designed to encourage you. To build you up. Someone says, well, if you're going to encourage us, if you, you know, encouraging preaching is all positive preaching. No, the Bible won't allow that. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. 2 negative, positive. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. I encourage you. The Word of God encourages us. And there's do's and there's don'ts in the Bible. And we've got to be aware of them. Now, brethren, I commend you unto God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Acts 20 and in verse 32. Preacher, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve God and that God in all things would be glorified and that God in all things would be pleased and that I can go to heaven when life is over. But what must I do? You do what the Bible says to do. What does it say to do? So the faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Believe it. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Jesus said if you don't, you'll die in your sins. John 8, 24. Repent of your wrongdoing. That means change your mind about what you've been doing. Purpose that you're going to do what's right. It'll be evidence and to change life without which we'll perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God like the eunuch did. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, verse 37. And be baptized, that is immersed in water where the blood of Christ will wash away every sin you've ever committed. Acts 2 and in verse 38 in Revelation 1, 5. When you do that, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. No matter how big or how small in your sight, all of them be washed away. Raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Added to the one body institution you read about in the Bible, and that's the Church of Christ, Acts 2 and in verse 47. Preacher, I've done that, but I've not been faithful as I should. And I want to be restored. I want to once again be right in the sight of God. He's made provision for that. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, of our sin rather, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and in verse 9. Don't delay. Preacher, why on earth should I be concerned about doing that? Why should I do those things and be right in the sight of God? I'll give you one reason. There's a great day coming. Don't delay. Come right now.